Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Die. So Bonnie and Blue told Philip DeFranco. Sorry.
And now.
And then the Rizzler was there. And he, can you imagine?
The Costco guys used the Rizzler as a battering ram.
The Costco guys used the Rizzler as the battering ram. And the Muslim horde turned around away from Rome and did not sack Rome as they were going to because the Rizzler was on the gates doing this. And then the Pope saw the Mongols leave, and he goes, "That's five big booms." And then he did, and then the whole city of Rome went boom, boom. Boom. Can you imagine? We should take the Rizzler and just put him in a time machine and hit random and see where he pops up.
I put the Rizzler in a time machine and hit shuffle.
And you just start seeing tapestries change and like reweave, and you just see this short little kid in all of the. He becomes Napoleon on the back of the horse of that painting. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast coming at you live from the recently annexed Gaza Strip. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. I like that one better. That one was pretty good. The first one we did, because my computer was slow, was about USAID.
USAIDS, as I like to call it.
USAIDS, and we had this whole bit. It was I don't understand why it's called USAID, because it's already a word. You don't need, like, USAID.
Let's rehash it for them.
It's good. I think it's important that people know what goes on behind the scenes.
If they knew half of what goes on behind the scenes, they would increase their Patreon amount to at least $20 a month. I do believe.
If people knew what went on behind the scenes, we would be arrested. Like, it's like that scene in War Dogs where they get arrested at the end. Spoilers. As for the movie,
I think it'd be more like the scene in War Dogs where he tries to buy weed and then he pulls out the automatic rifle. And to intimidate the drug dealers. And you're Jonah Hill, and I'm the automatic rifle. And you point me.
I am Jonah Hill, aren't I? That sucks.
Yeah, you are kind of. And I'm kind of the Miles Teller of the podcast, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Kind of like super cool, really good at drumming. I'm Tom Cruise is my dad.
Watching people. Yeah. Judging people's magic tricks.
I don't know about that one. You lost me there.
That one's Penn and Teller, not Miles.
Oh. I was thinking about a movie that Miles Teller. I was like, was Miles Teller in Now You See Me
in a Mat
3? Yeah, I was like,
no,
totally
it was
lost.
James Franco's brother.
What? Dave Franco.
Dave Franco, yeah. And Jesse Eisenberg and Amy Adams.
We should be the first Americans to podcast from the newly annexed Gaza Strip. What say you? Since you and I have a history of going to Palestine and not getting arrested, I think we should try our luck. And
guys, the amount of times Ethan made the having a blast at the Gaza Strip joke while we were in Israel. It was so many times.
Hold on.
There was 20 people on the trip. He said it 21 times. Each time to a different person and twice to me.
Let's be clear. I did say I'm having a blast here at the Gaza Strip when I was in the Holy Land. But this was before October 7th.
This was before October 7th.
You know, this was back when they just kind of launched a rocket every once in a while as a matter of like kind of when you were single and you would like stay up late on a Saturday night, and you'd like fire off a text to your ex. That's kind of like where they were at, you know, in terms of their war was just like, sure. I'm still here. I still think about you. fire a rocket off over there.
I'm drunk and I'm mad. It's your problem.
I'm drunk. No, I was very respectful when we were in the Holy Land. And we were never in the Gaza Strip, which is the important thing. We were in...
Of course not.
Of course not. No, they don't take Americans to the West Bank. Although when I was there at the time, if you had asked me when we were in Palestine, if I was in the Gaza Strip, I would have said probably. Like I didn't, know where I was. I was very unaware of the geopolitical
situation.
There
was a lot of rubble around.
That's true.
I don't think I'd ever seen that much kind of like rubble, you know? I will say suspicious amount of rubble.
It was hard to determine if the rubble was blast related or if it was just normal. Like these are ancient ruins from the world's oldest city, you know? And it's like,
they might do construction sites differently over there where we have like neatly organized sections.
Yeah.
They might just have like, this is the rubble that we will turn into a building.
Are they Russian?
Why are they Russian? Hey, I mean, come on.
Let's talk about our favorite things about Palestine.
I liked Palestine more when I was there. A year later, when it became like a super lefty coded thing, I was like, I like Palestine. It's nice. There's a lot of Christians here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like suspiciously clean. Israel felt suspiciously
like they were trying to hide something.
Yes, correct. Jerusalem was like suspiciously well kept.
Yeah.
All of the historical sites and stuff. Galilee was great. Again, I will say that a million times. But the right over the wall, it was like, yeah, this is what I feel like this place should look like. You know?
Yeah.
This makes sense.
It is funny to be
so like,
if you've never been in Israel, it's certainly not a bad time, but it is maybe it's just culture shock because you're just in another country and it's weird to like see another country's military like operating in front of you, you know, like we see American troops and we generally think like if the National Guard was like at the state fair or something, we'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
Like, hey guys.
Yeah. Like the police officers with the high powered rifles at, you know, concerts and stuff. It's like, all right, I understand this. But for some reason, when like just a bunch of IDF soldiers come into a hotel lobby and they all have their guns just like out and about, like on the tables. It's like, it just feels different.
But it was also,
you know,
it was also like US soldiers, they have kind of a professionalism.
Yes.
Whereas all of these IDF soldiers were like younger than us.
It was very
laissez-faire.
Yeah.
Who was in our group that said that the IDF soldier left their gun across the room while she was in the gym with them?
Dude.
That's crazy. That's insane.
So just like anyone could have walked over. I have a feeling that in the hotel when all the soldiers were in there, I don't think anybody had any bullets in any of that. I don't think they trusted those.
You don't think so?
No.
Those teenagers?
I would never ask, but I didn't think. And the other thing, speaking of Israel having something to hide, this is not a conspiracy theory podcast, and we do not condone anti-Semitism. Wherein you hate someone who's Jewish just because they're Jewish. That's as much as I'll say on that. But when I was in Israel, many times we would drive through the Israeli countryside and our tour guide made sure to point out to us the giant spy blimp that they had in the middle of the countryside that he said that had cameras so advanced that it could find you and see what you were looking at on your phone from the sky, miles and miles away.
That's cool.
And so it is very clean, but at any time, just know that you're being watched, which is kind of, maybe that's why they keep it so clean.
You could be being watched.
You could be being watched, right, which is somewhat frightening. But the other thing, it's like, there's all these rules, but then, you know, the sexy lifeguard who is a 55-year-old man in a Speedo, he's like, hey, don't go swim in the Sea of Galilee. You can't do that. And then we went and we did it. And then he was like, you know, he didn't really stop us. So it's not.
No, we asked him. He said he it seemed like he said, yes, we did it. And he said, you weren't supposed to do that. And then he went in and swam it.
Yeah. It was funny. It was a cool time. I miss going there.
The 55-year-old lifeguard was this very slender man who was bronzed out of his mind.
He was this very slender man who was slowly chasing me in the forest, and I had to collect these pages of the Talmud. Jewish slender man.
Funny game.
It's like you have to collect 8 pages before the sun goes down on Shabbat or whatever. And and instead of it's Slenderman, it's like your mom, you know, or like some, I don't know what.
And you have to recite all of the, Hebrew on the pages, and afterwards you become a man.
Yeah. And you have to defend to your mom, like, why you're not marrying a Jew, you know?
Yeah.
I just think, that'd be great. That's what Seinfeld would do. If Seinfeld was running today, he would do a Slenderman sketch where his mom was Slenderman.
Anyway,
or it could be Kramer. Can you imagine Kramer being Slender Man?
I think Kramer was the inspiration.
That's probably true with his wacky with his wacky clothes. He was always getting up to stuff, man.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
I want to circle back to the USAID USAID events. How many Catholic organizations do you think receive most, if not all, of their funding from tax dollars?
How many Catholic organizations receive most, if not all, of their funding from public money? Is that your question?
From public money, yeah.
I would say 90% of them.
It's not that many, but it is
a lot
more than I thought. Yeah, I looked up the data. And it's like, oh wow, it's a lot. There were some Catholic charities where it was 100%.
That's insane.
Was taxpayer funded. And I.
It's an easy way to do it. You don't have to have a development team. You know, you just write.
In principle, I'm okay with it. Yeah. But I also am kind of like, why is that not coming from us?
Yeah.
Like, aren't we supposed to be funding the church?
It is weird.
And the church's activities.
It is weird to get taxed and then have that tax money rerouted to a charity that, when they ask us for money, we say, sorry, I can't afford it because 40% of my paycheck gets taken to go to the tax.
To go to the tax.
And people say that this is good, but it's like, it's not charity to give away someone else's money. So
yeah,
it's all of the government, through their evil taxation, is taking away our opportunities to be charitable, which makes it harder to be a Christian in America, which is why we need to rise up and establish a Christian nationalist society.
I will admit I spent a lot of my day.
I saw you on your alt every 20 minutes, just kind of posting a new revelation, and I was like, Patrick doesn't have much going on today, does he?
No, I was in between. It was in between.
Oh, I see. It was
like,
nice,
stuff like that. But no, I had a very productive day today. But for about 30 minutes, I spent digging through the USAID trying to find. Because the big story, for those of you who don't know, was that it turns out that this branch of the executive, this little pocket of the executive branch, was sending money to NGOs who were funding projects in other countries advancing leftism, and they were also paying for like millions of dollars of subscriptions to like left-wing journalists, like left-wing news publications like Politico. So people were like, hey, why are all these, is the left wing movement real, or is it just astroturfed? Like, that was kind of the question, right? And so I wanted to know, are there any Catholic news organizations that are funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars? I was like, National Catholic Register, America Magazine, are they federally funded? Turns out no. EWTN, however,
yeah,
does receive taxpayer money, a whopping $6.
How did they get $6? I don't even know how that would happen. Who approved that?
So I think it's like the way that the graph worked was like, it showed how this charity was connected to each, like how it was, where it receives money from, and how much of that money is line item as income from taxpayers. And so each of this website, Data Republican, small r, Data Republican, he compiled all of the federal spending on this website and spending, and he gives a percentage of how much of this organization is taxpayer funded. And I looked up Catholic, and it showed a bunch of Catholic charities just 100% taxpayer funded, which I think actually vindicates JD.
Vance?
Yeah, Vance. Yeah, I think that kind of vindicates what he was saying, where it's like, you know, maybe your interests are more political than you're letting on, because your money comes from politicians, not from Catholics. So it's unfortunate.
It is interesting that there is this like federal money hose that you can turn on and turn off, and it's kind of embarrassing to be someone on the right and then be like, you guys were distributing billions of dollars to your friends, and the Republicans are like just now finding out that that's a thing you can do. It's like, if I'm a friend of the Republican Party, I'm kind of upset about that. I'm like, you, hey. I put you in office, you know, I vote for you, and you can't even get me a do nothing job for $250,000 as the executive director of a made up nonprofit that's nominally there to pump up basketballs in Somalia. You know, like, yes. Surely someone can get me that type of job, but this is why there's no good right wing art, is because there's no good right wing patronage. And so
that's what it
this
is.
This is like all these left wingers are making, they're making all this money, and they're writing Rick and Morty episodes from their desk because they're making $400,000. And they're like, I guess I might as well express myself. And then they get a TV deal, and then they think that they've made it. And meanwhile, we're sitting here, and I'm twisting off lug nuts on my engine carburetor, and I'm trying to repair it, and nobody's giving me any money, and I can't write any episodes of Rick and Morty to get on TV. Isn't that sad?
Patreon.com/thecrunch. you can become our right-wing dark money.
If you want to help me stop twisting lug nuts, go to patreon.com/thecrunch. Go ahead.
So the example of Politico is interesting, because Politico
is Politico.
Politico is a left leaning news organization that is largely responsible for advancing the agenda of the Biden campaign.
I see.
So they were instrumental this time around, and particularly the laptop scandal, which I know very little about.
Hunter Biden.
They were the ones that were like, ah, that's not a big deal. But it was discovered that the USAID was, oh, by the way, because we're posting clips on Instagram now, you can't be on your phone during the podcast.
I'm not on my phone.
I had to cut a clip weird because you were on your phone. And I was like, I can't have him on the phone in the podcast.
Listen, sometimes I've got family stuff going on.
I figured that's why.
I was just checking Twitter because I was bored with what you were saying. But now I'm locked in.
It's a good sign that I need to sharpen things up, because if you're bored, other people are too.
Yes.
Anyway, but it's crazy,
yeah.
Because it turns out that this journalism, or this news organization, has a subscription service. Did you hear about this? Mm-hmm. It costs $10,000 a year.
Yes. What are we doing?
What can we make?
What are we doing?
What can we make that costs $10,000 a year? And the federal government, first of all, yeah. I think that the federal government should count as one license. And you're like, here's our $10,000 product. And they're like, here, federal government, here you go. We're going to share this with NASA. And with, but no,
what do you
there
get?
Were like 300.
What do you get for paying $10,000?
I don't know.
The news is free. You go outside, you can see the news. It's just out there.
Is it special news?
Do you get different
like
news?
Secret news?
Different news than the rest of us get?
Because I assume that the journalists are incentivized to get the news out quickly. So surely you're not.
If you pay $10,000 a year to a news, you better be getting the Epstein list, you know.
But also, the federal government is the source of the news.
Right.
I would assume.
Yes.
So like communication-wise, you would think that.
Yeah. It's kind of like a cow owning a dairy plant in a way.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yes.
It's like, why do you need it? Anyway, but it was like, so this left-wing journalism organization, this is a newspaper. It's not really a newspaper. But they were receiving about $8 million a year in taxpayer money.
It's decent. It's a a good chunk of change.
It's a lot. That's enough to run a staff. That's enough to run a company. It's not enough to run like a huge company, but it's a pretty big chunk of change, right?
People,
and so,
at least,
I don't know. It's like there's this arm of the government that funds media organizations. Mm-hmm. So like it raises the question: do people actually believe these talking points of the far left?
No.
Or are they just kind of being psyoped into believing?
I think it's always been somewhat obvious that there's, like, if you ever watch TV shows about politics, they'll like come up with like lines, or they'll come up with stories and they'll leak them, and then those stories will get run. It's like, it's all, even the non news organizations that don't accept federal funding, it's all being manufactured. You know, it's all being somewhat controlled. You know, someone chooses at some point to leak a story that paints their person in a favorable light, or this other person in a less favorable light. And it's just kind of the tit for tat, you know, war of attrition over long periods of time. So that's kind of always been the case. I think it's just especially egregious that there was no oversight. There was no bipartisan oversight that, like, millions and millions, billions of dollars were getting dispersed without really anybody's say. Like, I think people just feel, the bigger scandal to me is that it just is this injustice of, like, we're the wealthiest country in history, and we're not, like, individual human beings don't get to benefit from the wealth. Like, the only people that are benefiting from the wealth is, like, the however many organizations that USAID chooses to support. And it's like, all right, imagine if USAID distributes $50 billion a year, which is a footnote in terms of the federal government spending budget. But like, if you give $50 billion back to the American people every year, that's like not an insignificant amount of money, you know?
No.
I don't know how much it is.
There's 300 million of us.
Yeah. Someone's screaming in their car. $50 billion. Yeah.
Someone's like, it's obvious.
Someone's got their PhD in math. That's probably what, $55 a person? I'm not joking.
It's $160 a person.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd think it would be more.
No, it sounds about right. It's about a factor.
All right, maybe I'm wrong.
But we save $500 billion.
Do we save? Are we going to save $500 billion?
Probably not. How big is the United States budget? It's got to be like $10 trillion.
That's a big old question mark.
There's no way to know.
The CIA's budget is not public, so we really will never know.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. I will say I like the people. I have liked the responses to people's, like, so they it was discovered that the USAID was funding these crazy projects in foreign countries, like Sesame Street in Iran, and a gay comic book in Peru, stuff like that. And people were like, this is insane. This Democratic senator said, oh, we're funding freedom fighters in other countries. And someone was like, that's illegal. He admitted to funding opposition to overthrow governments. That's against the Geneva. Who cares? That's, obviously we're doing that. Obviously we're doing that.
Yeah.
I would just like it to be a little more clear and a little more like, I would like us to do that in a way that is positive instead of communist.
I think,
you know,
here's what I think. I think we should let Mr. Beast decide what happens with the USAID money every year. We should get him up there.
That's great.
We should have Mr. Beast, and he picks like three outcomes, right? And he's like, I've got $100 billion to use on whatever you choose to do. And in front of me, I've got 10 individuals that are going to compete to decide whether we overthrow a government or give condoms to turkeys in Siberia or put it all in an interest-bearing account. What are we going to choose? and then they have to shoot each other with guns. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch.
Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Catholic men, if you want to be a great man, you have to know yourself first. And I will admit, I used to think I knew myself pretty well until I did Exodus 90. I thought that giving up social media would be hard because I love tweeting. However, it was television that was hard for me, honestly, because I admit I watch The Office on my phone while I'm getting ready and doing things. And so when I had to give up television and I had to sit in silence, I was like, oh no, I have to be alone with my thoughts. That's terrifying. But it was good because I got to talk to God more, and also my wife, the two people who are the most important in my life. At that point, the only two people that were important in my life, Leo had not yet been born. So when I did Exodus 90 in 2022, I was able to reconnect with my wife, reconnect with my God, and prepare the way for my little bundle of joy who is potty training now. So pray for us. All that is to say, if you've been considering doing Exodus 90 every single year for the last like 10 years, now is your time to do it, okay? Stop pussyfooting around, which is something you can say on a non-explicit podcast because that is a word, pussyfoot. Stop pussyfooting around and go to exodus90.com/crunch, exodus90.com/crunch, and get a 14-day free trial of their mobile app that is essential to the experience of Exodus 90. Trust me on that. Don't wait, because Exodus 90 starts on January 20th. Hop in that cold shower and give up all non-essential things in your life except for this podcast, which, as you know, is the most essential thing in your life. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring another episode of The Crunch Bagel. I hope this ad was funny. All right, man, listen, I try my best. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Now back to your regularly scheduled crunching. Dude, imagine the Dave Ramsey episode that's like, $500 billion. You put that in a growth stock mutual fund. You're spending like you're in Congress. I am in Congress.
$500 billion does not take you very far. You got to take 1,000 of that, put that in your emergency savings fund. Okay? You're going to want to spend it all, but don't do that. Put $1,000 and then take the rest of the $499,999 billion and take that, and what you're going to do, you're going to pay off all your debt. It's called the snowball, okay? And then
we're going to get to the book.
And here's my problem with the United States government. Even with $500 billion, you're still $13 trillion in debt.
You've listened to Dave Ramsey more recently.
Dude, I've been seeing some clips of him, and he always hits, dude. He's always right.
Have you seen the edits where it's someone asking for gambling advice?
Yeah. Those are funny. I've been getting a lot of videos of LeBron James AI edits where it's like 65-year-old male comes in complaining of pressure in his upper right abdomen. And it's like a medical diagnosis question. I don't know why I keep getting those, but I watch them every time. They make me laugh. I don't know what's going on with LeBron these days.
I guess all of this is to say it's important to support Catholic art, but not bad Catholic art. Like, if you don't think this podcast is good, don't support it. I don't want to be one of those guys who's like, it's important to support Catholic artists, because sometimes Catholic artists are bad and they should not be supported because their art isn't good. But this is why it's important to support independent entertainment, news, because it stands or falls on its own merit. I just think if a news organization needs to be propped up by the government in any way, it just doesn't deserve to exist anymore.
Do that, but with banks.
Uh-oh.
Oops. It's hard to
also
say.
Also, yes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we should get rid of banks. I don't know too much about the USAID thing. I don't know too much about what Trump has been up to. I think it's good generally to uncover waste, you know, but I think it's right now it still feels very much like propaganda and like it's just happening for clicks, you know, to keep the base excited, to keep the pressure on. It doesn't feel like too much of, like, to me, I don't know, but like when we're talking about the government spending hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars to be like, well, they gave this group $8 million. I'm like, all right, you know, that's a house in a really nice neighborhood. One house, you know, it's a lot of money. I'm not, don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, I haven't seen any figures that are like truly staggering, like the biggest, but even, even the big ones are like, oh, $20 million to do this overseas. It's like $20 million for an overseas project. It just evaporates. It's like that could, you could spend that in a year, you know?
I want to see the billions and the trillions.
That's what we need to start cutting.
I want someone to walk into the Department of Defense and be like, hold on, what were you doing?
Yeah.
What were you spending money on?
Yeah.
But it's like, you do have to, things add up over time.
Certainly. I'm not saying that these are bad. It's just really hard for me to buy into the hype, you know? It's like, I get it. Mm-hmm. It's exciting, but it's like, all right, shut down that department, stop the money from going out, and let's move on to the next thing. You know, like, this is a good win, but it's not, I think it's being treated as this huge deal when it's really,
I think part of the reason why it's being treated like a huge deal is because they held like a rally outside of,
that is true that they did that. Why did they do that?
And they held a rally outside and then they were like outside the USAID. They were like, this is awful. This is horrible. And then of course you have like the aggressively centric Catholics on Twitter being like, well, it's important for us to, we're a wealthy nation. It's important to support other countries. Again, condoms in Gaza, gay plays in Peru. Mm-hmm. You have to understand what we're talking about here. It's okay to shut down this organization. It's not vital to whatever. Someone was like, oh no, 100 kids dying of something in Africa are going to be affected by this. I understand that. That's bad. And that's, but however, we have to figure out what's going on.
Is it
so that we can help the 100 kids?
Every time a malnourished child dies somewhere, is that just automatically America's fault? Is that the position that these people hold? Is that like,
they should move to where the food is? Have you seen that video?
I love that video.
That's a good video.
You see this? This is sand.
You know what's going to be in 100 years?
Sand.
We have to live in America. We just don't live in them. But anyway, so it was crazy. They held a rat. It's like, I don't know. People are saying, oh, they must really care about it because they held a rally. And I don't think that's true. I think it's just whatever this administration does, the left needs to talk about it as if it is the worst.
That's
thing
true. That's their only play at this point. They have to saying fascism, Hitler, because they have nothing else.
And so they're going to hold a rally outside of the whatever. They would have done it if it was the Department of Ducklings, like rubber ducklings. You know, they would have done it whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's like, but I don't know if that's just propaganda or if that's like they really want to draw the line in the sand here because they. Mm-hmm. I hope it keeps happening.
Yeah.
I hope stuff keeps getting churned out and because I like just completely transparent and self-interested here. It's like, I am now a fully self-employed person. I pay all of my taxes. Mm-hmm. My employer pays nothing. I have to pay twice as many taxes because I have to pay what the employer would pay if I was employed. I pay so much in taxes.
You pay a lot of taxes, man.
I hate it. And I'm like trying to buy a house and I can't. And I'm like, I'm making more money than I've ever made as a youth minister. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I'm still in the same size apartment as I was and rent is twice as much. And it's very frustrating, right? And these are like real things that are real pains that are being felt by not just me. Mm-hmm. Right? They're being felt by a bunch of people. And it's like, okay, maybe if someone could stop the taxes or at least stop the spending that taxes are causing, I'm down. I think that would be cool.
Well, Trump's trying to get rid of the personal income tax. So if that happens, that would be, it'd be great. You probably would still have to pay employment tax, but you then at least wouldn't have to pay income tax on your own deal, which would be good.
Yes, I still have to pay into Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, but that's also going to go away soon, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
That is the way to avoid the income taxes, that you just, like, you have to pay the 15% into Social Security and Medicare, mm-hmm. but you can figure out a way to not pay the 15% in income tax, but you're probably going to if you make enough money.
Yeah. To me, it feels hollow, because part of me is still in disbelief that anybody on the right has the gumption to then go in, gut that system, and then replace it with their own system where they fund other things. Like, I'm just imagining there's all this big talk from people where they talk about the importance of beautiful architecture, beautiful art, beautiful books, good, true journalism, true reporting, you know, all the things that are being funded on the other side by these other patronage organizations. But I just can't fathom a right-wing patronage system that actually works and functions as intentioned, where architects who want to design and build traditional buildings are given federal money to do so, or filmmakers who want to make and produce movies that have conservative or traditional Christian values that are higher quality than, like, the Angel Studios movies, you know, or the, not to say Angel Studios is bad, it's just the first one that popped into my head. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of, like,
they're naturally limited.
Right? They can't do as much. What's that movie about the firefighter who's, like, addicted to porn? Fireproof or whatever.
Fireproof. Yeah.
It's like, we deserve better than that.
That was just a church.
Yeah. Was it?
Like, that film company was just a church. It was just a church, and the lead pastor was the lead in two of their three big movies. And then Kirk Cameron, which is crazy.
Like, even, I'm thinking about, like, the David Henry movie, Monster Summer, and Mel Gibson was, like, in it or directed it or produced it or something like that. This came out over the summer, and or maybe in the fall, and it was this, like, you know, bastion of, like, oh, this is, like, a movie made by Catholics, and it's good for families, it's family values, but it's, like, kind of a, you know, kind of a spooky Halloween movie or blockbuster movie, but, like, nobody went to see it, you know? And I don't know if that's because it was no good, or if they didn't have the money to do, like, a big national campaign, because it costs, like, it's like $50 million to do, like, your average Marvel movie advertising across the country leading up to a film release. That's $50 million, which...
It's tough.
Which, for these small companies, just talking about movies for a second, that's their whole annual budget, maybe. That's maybe double their whole annual budget. They're making movies for, like, $1 million. That's all in. You know, that's not even counting promotion. And so it's like... So I'm just wondering if that will happen.
$1 million, by the way. $1 million does not even pay for a moderate... a medium-sized suburban parish to underpay their staff for a year.
Yes.
Like, that's $1 million is not a lot of money. Correct. To do anything for longer than 6 months.
Yes.
If you're going to pay people living wages.
Right. It's a lot of money if it's just yours and you don't have to do anything with it other than have it. It's a lot of money. You can do great things with that.
Or if you got it for nothing, as in, like, giving people a login to a website that you already own.
But I wonder if that will happen, and because it'll be strange, because it's just, like, another thing. I see it differently because it doesn't excite me in the same way that maybe it should, but I see it in the same vein as, like, the church used to be in charge of education, and then the government became in charge of education, and then the church was in charge of hospitals, and then the government kind of became in charge of hospitals. The church used to be in charge of patronage networks to artists and artisans, And now the government is in charge. And even if it's, like, people that are more like us, you know, and it might be better, it still feels like something that's being aped.
Yeah, like, I was talking about this online, because this is actually where I wanted the conversation to go. I wanted to be like, all right, so what do we do?
Yeah.
So they've been doing this for years.
Yes.
For almost decades, I think. For more than decades. The secular left has been pushing its agenda through media forever. Like, the reason why the Obergefell decision happened was because of Glee. I guarantee it. Like, they made the gay kid sad, and all the middle-aged suburban moms were like, "Oh, the gay kid is sad. Marriage isn't real." You know, like that's kind of what happened in 2015. And so they did that. And I saw Patrick Deneen, who is one of the post-liberal guys that I disagree with. And he was talking about how, like, the right has no vision, because they're like, no, we shouldn't be destroying these institutions. We should be capturing them and then using them for our own ends. I'm like, hold on, wait. What if the institution itself is doing things that are, the means are bad?
Mm-hmm.
The end might be good, but the means are wrong. And I think that's what it is. I think you pinpointed it. It's like, the government should not be in charge of this.
Yeah.
It's not, it's because art is an inherently transcendental thing. It's a theological thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it belongs to the church
mm-hmm.
to do. And that's true with education. That's true with charity. And I think it's a problem, even if you want to say, oh, well, we'll just give, the state will just collect the money and give it to the church. That's not working in Germany. And it's not working here.
Yeah. It had the opposite effect in Germany, actually.
It made it worse.
It did make it way worse. They're like, we just make money for doing nothing. Turns out, even when you're awesome. When you're the Catholic Church, making money for doing nothing is still a violation against justice, and it messes you up. You know.
Yeah. I think we start by not letting the state tax the clergy. We go back to Philip IV and Boniface VIII.
Who?
The Pope says the clergy can. So in
asked.
The Avignon Papacy started. All right.
Keep going.
The Avignon Papacy started because Boniface VIII told Philip IV that he couldn't tax priests. And Philip IV was like, I'm going to put you in jail. And Boniface VIII was like, please don't do that. I'll literally die.
So Bonnie and Blue told Philip DeFranco. Sorry.
And now.
And then the Rizzler was there. And he, can you imagine?
The Costco guys used the Rizzler as a battering ram.
The Costco guys used the Rizzler as the battering ram. And the Muslim horde turned around away from Rome and did not sack Rome as they were going to, because the Rizzler was on the gates doing this. And then the Pope,
could you imagine?
The Pope saw the Mongols imagine? Leave, and he goes, that's five big booms. And then he did, and then the whole city of Rome went boom, boom. Boom. Can you imagine? We should take the Rizzler and just put him in a time machine and hit random and see where he pops up.
I put the Rizzler in a time machine and hit shuffle.
And you just start seeing tapestries change and like reweave, and you just see this short little kid in all of the, he becomes Napoleon on the back of the horse of that painting.
You see, the coronation of Charlemagne changes.
Yeah.
And both the Pope and Charlemagne are the Rizzler.
Whoa.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
Yeah, I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks,
pour beer,
and it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data. even if they 100% disagree with you, even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity. And that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach. And so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe.
But anyway, I think
the Rizzler stars in Ocean's 11.
In an ideal world.
Anyway.
The first one.
Yeah.
The first one. I think in an ideal world, the church, that kind of money returns to the church. And instead of, you know, a 30% tax going to the government, I pay the government 10% of my income and then 10%. 20% goes to the church, and the church makes a pretty church that I can take my kid to and go, wow, look, there's a painting of the Rizzler on the wall. And
Rizzler on
all
the
that
wall.
Good stuff. Oh. But in the meantime, that's like the abolition abortion is completely illegal now option. Yeah. What is the incrementalist option? I think it's, you know, like
tax evasion.
No, I think it's taking these and creating new institutions because I think creating art to subvert governments or like funding rebels to overthrow governments is a bit dicey. Morally,
what do you mean?
Speaking.
Why?
I think sedition, and you have to be cautious with like sedition and like there's fraud there. You know what?
Nothing. I was just thinking when I was in school, I learned about sedition and subtraction and all this. You're just making me laugh.
I'm just trying to think through. I'm trying to think through moral quandaries, and you're like B tier puns.
I know.
That's what's going.
It's not even
your brain
good.
Right
well,
now.
That's the problem. I've got a gerbil on a hamster wheel up there, and he's confused. He wants to be in the gerbil.
He's on the wrong kind of wheel.
He wants to be in the gerbil ball, and he's in the hamster wheel. And the hamster is in the gerbil ball. He falls down the stairs, cracks his neck, dead. I've killed a hamster because you're trying to figure out whether or not to fund the Chechen rebels.
Gerbil and the hamster wheel. What's it? What's that song? I'm thinking of a song. It sounds like a song, right?
Sing it.
Shortening something.
Sing it. Sing it with your full chest for me, please.
No, you're not supposed to sing from your chest.
Sing from your diaphragm, please. Just give me the melody.
Oh.
Give me the melody, please. I want to know the gerbil and the.
It sounded like Froggy went accordion. That's what it was.
Gerbil and a hamster wheel did ride. Cramble.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So you're trying to figure out, is it right to give money to people to overthrow their government? That's the question you're asking.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe I was wrong, and it is okay for the government to fund art projects, just not ones that are wrong.
Genuinely, this is the whole free speech is not a real thing argument. You know, it's like, yes, we should use government money to fund initiatives overseas and to fund political, journalistic, artistic efforts domestically, but it should all be things that align with the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, and that's it. I mean, it's just like, yes, we should do that. Like if I was the president, El Presidente, and I had a big bucket of $100 billion, I could be like, awesome, I'm gonna give public money to dioceses to build beautiful churches, and you can't stop me. And I'm going to put a Bible in every home. You know,
you can't stop me.
You don't have to read it. I will put it there.
It's like the Book of Mormon in the Marriott. You don't have to read it, but it's there. Yes.
The Gideons, what are they up to? Can we engage the Gideons on this?
They're putting the Bibles in the hotel rooms, I believe.
Yeah, And Trump is a hotel guy, so he actually might be very familiar with this. I want America to be a big hotel with a Bible in every room.
Amen, brother. That's what I want too.
And I
want
to be able to hit, I want to be able to walk out my front door, hit a button, and play blackjack immediately. That's what I want. I live 45 minutes away from a casino, and that's too far.
If we buy them in bulk, so like three people to every family on average, that's probably, you know, there's 100 million families in America.
So thereabouts.
One Bible for every family. We could probably buy them in bulk, get them for a dollar or less a piece. $100 million. Collect them up. That's easy. A lot of people already have Bibles. They might say, you know what? I don't need one. $50 million.
You got the stimulus check that went out to every bank account. And so I wonder, and they did that. We do what they did with the U2 album a couple years ago. That, you knew what they did with it. And they just dropped the U2 album in your Apple Music. Hey, everybody, Bible's in your notes app now.
Dude, reason why you should file your taxes as soon as you can, because I didn't file my taxes quick enough.
No.
In 2020.
You didn't get your stimmy?
In 2021, we didn't file our married filing jointly taxes quick enough, so Phoebe was still a dependent on the last taxes, and the stimulus went to her dad. And I was like, boo! But I couldn't complain. It was not my money.
Did her dad cash the check and keep it?
Yeah, it was fine. It was his. Yeah, it was. She wasn't on her own yet.
I see. I got it.
Yeah. If we had filed our taxes earlier, we would have been, but.
What were we talking about?
Because it was your most recent tax return. And so we could have filed our 2021 when we were married, but it was 2020 when we weren't. Or 19. Whatever. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's in the past.
We were talking about giving money in accordance with the Roman Catholic Church. I think that's the play that people just need to be okay with. It's like there are things that it's okay to give hundreds of billions of dollars to, and there's things that it's not. And it's not a democracy. It's not up for debate. It's not up for a vote. It's like there are some things that are good and some things that are bad.
This is good.
And I'm fine with money going towards things that are good, and I'm not fine with money going towards things that are bad. If it's my money, you know. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen, but
yeah, I think we should go through the government's budget line by line and go, here's money you spent on things that are needs. Mm-hmm. Here's money on things that you spent on good things that are not needs, that are like quality of life things that were good. And these were wrong. And so we're going to take the bad money that you spent on quality of life things that were bad, like Zimbabwean folk dancing for racially diverse, whatever. You could go on and on about this. We're going to move it over to good. And then here's the stuff that you spent money on that no one needs $1,000 sushi. Like no one needs that.
We're going to cut the sushi budget.
But you can get sushi pretty cheap, especially if you're the government. The other thing about the government is that it writes itself an automatic discount on anything it buys. Mm-hmm. Have you considered that?
No.
Every salary it pays, it gets some of the money back.
It's messed up.
Government pays you 60 grand, you still got to pay taxes on that 60 grand. So it's like,
it is funny how people who are older always say things like the tax man, like they've personified him. You know, the tax man always gets his cut. And I'd like to imagine that there's a Studio Ghibli-esque figure that has many limbs and shovels coal into a furnace, and he's the tax man, and they pump it all into his bones and it keeps him alive. And that's really what's in at Fort Knox, is this spidery tax man. And that's why they wanted to hire.
We got rid of the gold standard, and we got on the spidery tax man.
We hired the tax man, and that's why they need to hire 80,000 new IRS agents, because he ate all of the previous ones.
Did they go through with that? Did they hire a bunch of guys with guns and calculators to go make sure you're paying your fair share?
Hold on real quick. Let me just calculate the caliber of bullet I need to shoot you with based on how much money you owe.
Let me calculate how bad I need to fracture your kneecap.
Getting shot with a 50 cal because I haven't paid taxes in 10 years.
I think there's a statute of limitations. If you make it to 10, they just cancel it all.
That'd
good.
Be nice.
Just declare yourself a sovereign citizen.
It's worked for many. Dozens. Mm. We should go off the grid.
I know a guy.
Do you think we could still do this podcast off the grid? Like if we uploaded it from an internet cafe instead of our home computers?
Those are just called Starbuckses. I don't think we have internet cafe. We're not, no, it's not
but
like
I recently,
Puerto Rico. There's no internet
I recently
cafe
saw
here.
The Bourne Identity and he went to an internet cafe and he used it and he was in Europe. And so I think that they're,
but see, I,
oh,
think,
I think they're,
I don't think those exist
no,
anymore
but it was in the
because
Bourne,
everywhere
it was in the
has
Bourne
Wi-Fi.
Identity and I saw it.
The Bourne Identity in like 2007?
No, it was like 2001.
Oh, so definitely.
So it was
a
little bit older, but
ago.
It was,
all
it,
right.
They had it there and he used it. And so I think I could.
So internet cafes don't exist anymore because all cafes have internet.
But there was a computer. He went and sat down at a computer at a desk and he clicked, he logged on.
I understand. I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but that we don't need to do that anymore because we could just go to like a library or a Starbucks with a laptop and connect. Every cafe is an internet cafe.
Maybe I'm not being clear. So he wakes up, he has amnesia, he doesn't know who he is. Jason Bourne. And he goes,
I'm familiar with the Bourne identity.
He goes to an internet cafe. And so I'm saying,
but nowadays nobody cares about what identity you're born with, right?
Imagine Jason Bourne had a podcast and it would just be him for 50 minutes staring into the camera saying, does anyone know who I am?
Imagine Jason Bourne, but he's trans.
Imagine Jason Bourne, but he says, I got a number. How about them apples?
How do you like them apples? I finally saw the Louis C.K. bit about that recently.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. It's a funny joke. Do you think we could get Matt Damon on the podcast?
I think we could get Mark Wahlberg on the podcast.
That's true. We could.
Another Bostonian.
Yeah, if you ever.
I think that's a realistic.
Yeah.
I think Mark Wahlberg would be a good guest on the Crunch podcast.
Yeah. I've made this joke before, but it'd be so funny to be like, come on our Catholic podcast and we just ask him about Ted. We just talk about Ted.
Yeah, so I watched the TV show Ted, and you were not in it.
Yeah.
Did you write the TV show
we
Ted?
We just have, like,
no, guys,
the Ted 1 poster behind me and the Ted 2 poster behind me and then the bear, like, right next to me. You're like, Mark, so great to meet you.
I'm wearing, like, a Ted T-shirt and a hat. And we only talk about
Ted 1 and 2, which, to be honest, I've never seen. So
I think I think that would be funny.
I think that would be funny.
I think we would have to tell him ahead of time and then just do it.
There would be no way his people would make it so that this is how it's going to be. This is how long it's going to be. These are the questions you're allowed to ask. If it is anything other than what we say, we're pulling the plug is probably how those work. So
I don't think so.
A star of his caliber, a global star, needs to maintain such a tight image, you know?
Dude, you think the 9/11 thing was scripted? Come on.
Yes. I think he's got a very advanced street team.
That's the guy that goes off the cuff. I think in the age of Joe Rogan-esque podcasts, I don't think people are. I think it's not a late night show. You know, he's not going on Jimmy Fallon to talk about his latest picture. He's going on some podcast that 10 people are going to listen to, and he's going to talk about Ted.
Yeah, 1 and 2.
And he's fine with that. You think Mel Gibson rehearsed everything he said on the Rogan podcast recently? You think his PR guy went through that with him and was like, this is what you got to say?
I think Mel Gibson is always thinking and is always one step ahead.
Mel Gibson took 7 shots and then went on the Joe Rogan podcast and was like, I don't think the Pope is real.
Hey, I don't know what we talked to Mark Wahlberg about. I am excited to get more into movies this year. I've been talking about it, I've been thinking about it.
Dude.
There's gonna be some bonus content about movies, which I'm really pumped for.
I'm gonna do bonus content about books.
Yes.
So if you're a nerd like me, yeah. I've been rereading. Been alternating between Dante and Don Quixote. So we're Dante Quixote's Inferno.
Those two, did they ever collab?
No, they lived 300 years apart.
Did Dante... So when he goes down into the Inferno, could he... Yeah. Does he get a guest pass? Does he get plus one? I'm just thinking...
Well, I think he...
Don Quixote...
He was the plus
Don Quixote one. In the Inferno would be funny. I'm just saying, can we just... You know, he's like, he tries to tilt at a windmill, but it's like a hellish windmill. And he dies an agonizing death, and it's over in like 2 minutes.
I think Don Quixote would try to save the people in hell.
He would, knavishly.
And then he would kind of realize that people were in hell for a reason. And then right at the end, he would start like punishing them with the demons. Oh. You know?
Yeah. I think he would feign bravery, and then he would make Sancho Panza go and try to save the people from the blood boiling lava lake.
I read the first chapter of Don Quixote because I was like we're doing this Patreon thing where, you know, I'm doing books, and so I'm trying to do book summaries and read-alongs and stuff for patrons, and I was rereading Don Quixote chapter one, and I actually laughed out
loud. It's funny.
Three times. It is so funny. He imagines himself fighting a cyclops or a giant, and the name he gives the cyclops is Caraculambrio, which translates to anus face.
Butt face.
Which is just funny. Yeah. Like he's like, I'm going to fight a giant named Butt Face, and I'm going to cut him in half and defeat him and then tell him, go kneel before my beloved. I'm like, brother, you cut off his legs. How is he going to kneel before his beloved? It's just good stuff. It's like it's a good book. If you know what you're looking for, you can laugh out loud.
Dude, if only there was a way that I could give as little as $10 a month to have someone who knows and loves Don Quixote and films such as Ted 1 and Ted 2, and I could learn and receive knowledge about those pieces of media. If only there's a place.
So lucky you for making it to the end of the podcast. We're reworking our Patreon tiers where the bonus podcast will be available at $5 a month. And the $10 a month tier will be you can ask guests questions on the podcast when we have guests on, which will be more often, and Ethan's movie watching podcast and my book club. So that'll be a more premium.
It's a great soft launch. And more to come. Yeah.
Is that okay that I soft launched
that? Of course. More to come on that front. Okay. Stay tuned. Thanks for talking to me about USAIDS, Patrick.
You're welcome. I am happy that we have ended AIDS in Africa with all the money that we've sent over there.
Yes. I'm going to need, I'm going to need some of that Zimbabwe.
We're also announcing a new Patreon tier for $20,000 a year, which is exclusively available to our United States government partners, which is called the We Say Whatever You Want Fund. And if you see me come in with a gold chain, just know I've taken the money. Oh shoot!
You do already have a gold chain. It would have to be. $30,000 a month. That's what it would take for us to be full time. This.
$30,000 a month.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we're gonna get multiple of these. So.
Oh. Okay. So we would just need three $10,000 a month subscriptions. That's not too bad. We could do that. Because you got to imagine half is takes away for taxes, and then we got to pay the editor, and then we got to. A lot of expenses, and that would kind of eventually simmer out to.
And I gotta get my grill in.
Yeah,
like I gotta get the diamond encrusted.
And we gotta hire that person to fix your wardrobe, which you and I have talked about. Patrick came in; he was super worried about how he looked. He looks so nice, so I figured I would make fun of him. Patrick, you got anything else for the people?
I'm trying to figure out if this is the vibe that I come to the podcast with, or if I go back to my.
This is good.
Wear.
This is good. I like it.
This is good. This is me. All right.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.